So I hope you had a fruitful practice period in contemplation. And I thought a good place to start this morning would be with a brief talk before we go into practice. And a common delusion that we all carry around, and that is that we are the problem. Do you notice that arising? I am the problem. And if it's not I am the problem, maybe it's you are the problem. And I mean, then it can even extend to we are the problem. Right? So it's an important thing. That's ignorance right there. That's the mind not knowing stress, not knowing the causes of stress, not knowing the craving. You know, we were contemplating craving, not knowing that. Because the fruit of craving is self-identification. That's one of the fruits of it. That's what it yields. It's where we identify with whatever was arising in that stream of thinking. So if you're not the problem and I'm not the problem and we aren't the problem, then what is the problem? You know, the Buddha was really clear about this. Dukkha. Dukkha is the problem. Suffering. Another word for suffering is ignorance. Avijja, just not knowing the stress. That's the problem. We don't know it. It kind of creeps up on us, and then we get lost downstream somewhere. And what the mind has constructed in reaction to the problem. Dukkha. And so I want to share with you how in a very sketchy way, how the Buddha thought about this, because this was his core insight on the night of his awakening. He was really pondering. Dukkha is clearly the problem. Now, what's the necessary conditions for dukkha to arise? Any ideas? Ignorance, yeah, definitely. And ignorance, when it arises, it's based on what? Right? All that sense of who I am, who I've been in the past, it kind of comes flooding forward into the moment. Right? Memory, right? Comes flooding forward into the moment, and there's consciousness, which the Buddha talks about, occurring through the sense gates, right? So there's this memory that's there, that's being touched in the moment by experience, and the mind making sense of the experience, and deciding it's this. And when this happens, then that happens. And before we know it, the ignorance has given rise to this constructing, right, process. And the constructing itself gives rise to what's received through the sense gates, how we interpret it. Name and form, you know, what sense we make of it. And the contact, that contact that's happening, that convergence of those things together, right, is what yields Vedana, feeling. We feel, and we feel about everything. You can't not feel. And that feeling is what fuels the hunger, the craving, right? This thirst, this longing for things to be somehow other than the way they are. And of course, if we get lost in the craving, it's like that image I have used with some of you. It's like, the Buddha used this, it's like a dog being tethered to a pole. And it makes up for a very small world, because we're just running around what we want. It keeps us locked in, so to speak, to a small sense of what's going on, and which fuels clinging. How are we going to get what we want? And what does it mean if we don't get what we want? What does that mean about me? What does it mean about you? The mind proliferates. I love the word papancha. What the mind thinks about it complicates. The Pali word is papancha. It's like this kind of endless samsaric activity. It's familiar. That's how we experience it, right? Oh, I've been here before. This is a familiar thought. This is a familiar feeling. And in fact, we can, as we notice that, we can notice kind of how there's a sense of becoming. We become, or whoever we're focused on becomes who we think they are. If I think I'm depressed, I become a depressed person. If I think you are out of your mind, you become that. Because where does dukkha happen? It happens in here. It happens in our own mind. So, touching and being touched, we create a reality in our own mind. And then we're doing this together, right? So not only are we creating our inner reality, but we're creating a reality together. And then we do this at a systemic level, right? A sense of who we are as a subgroup. Men are this way, women are that way. Neither a man or a woman, transgendered or this way. You know, whatever, race, we do it around race, we do it around culture. It gets complicated. And all of that kind of keeps becoming in such a way that if we're lost in ignorance and we don't see the process, then we really believe the problem is you and me, or we, or them, or us. This is dukkha. So what's the necessary condition? The Buddha figured this out. This is the way it goes. And what's the necessary, where can you interrupt this? Is there any way to interrupt this cycle? To cut it, so that we're not lost in greed, hatred, and delusion. And he saw the place where we could cut it is any place along that chain where there is awareness, right, and a willingness to let go, where we develop some capacity to see through what is happening, to take the big view, to meet it with compassion and loving kindness, and a willingness to let go, not clinging to views. Right? Who we think we are, who we think other people are. And it's like in that space, then, if the mind has been cultivated, if we have that capacity, you know, there's a bit of concentration, we're ardent, alert, mindful, not clinging to anything. There's the possibility that we can meet suffering. The suffering that is here, the suffering that is in each other, the suffering that is in our families, at the workplace, the suffering in the world. So this practice is about turning towards suffering, having the capacity to meet it. Then many, many things become possible. That otherwise aren't even a remote possibility. So, we've been talking about attention. And this morning I invited you to wise intention, right? That you pay attention, this wise attention really has a lot to do with wise intention. That there's some willingness that you know the cycle, you have some confidence and faith in this because you've actually seen for yourself how it works. And so you're willing to pause. You're really willing to meet suffering just where it is. And if that means I have to pause out of my usual way of thinking about myself, that's exactly what I am called to do, is to notice that and just pause, relax. Okay, I can feel the fuel to the fire. I can feel how the mind keeps feeding the fuel to the fires of becoming. Ah, compassion. But not just compassion, wisdom. The Buddha said, you know, investigate this. See for yourself how it works. The point of meditation is not just to bliss out or be removed from the world. The point is to understand dukkha. Suffering, how it comes about, you know, what feeds it, what sustains it, what allows it to cease, and what's the path that you can walk on a daily basis, moment by moment, that's going to allow that to unfold for you in the here and now. So you're not a short distance from your body or a short distance from other bodies. That there is a body, and you know, there is a body. It's like this in this body. There are feelings, and it's like this in this body, these feelings. There is a mind, and the mind is like this. And there's this phenomena, this rising and vanishing of experience. Right, and when I say arising and vanishing, sometimes, you know, the mind makes something up about that. So, really check it out for yourself. Can you hold on to something for any length of time? Or is it true that the mind is constantly moving from one thought to another thought to another thought to another? Now, you know, a lot of our thoughts are repetitive. So if they're repetitive, it can seem like the same thought. But the truth is, if you actually have a bit of concentration and mindfulness, you see there's quite a bit of variation. And the truth is that if you meet that tension of thinking with an invitation to relax, it shifts your relationship to the thinking, to that whole stream of becoming. And then if you extend yourself the generosity of open, you know, it's possible, and you probably experienced this in your dyad work, that the whole thing collapses and falls apart, and you may even forget about it. It's no longer relevant. That's called the destruction of craving. It kind of happens, not because you had to destroy it, but because you're paying attention, it is destroyed. The mind cools off. Disenchantment, you can begin to see it. You're no longer enchanted by these familiar thought streams or feeling streams. You know, you're not enchanted by other people's thought streams or feeling streams. It doesn't mean you're not touched by them, because you may be touched by them in such a way that it triggers a thought stream and a feeling stream in you, and then you got to ride a pretty intense wave to find your ground again, right? That happens. But mindfulness allows you to know that. Mindfulness and kindness allows you to know what's needed for the release and relief of suffering. So I think one other thing that I want to say. I'm a little bit of a geek around this. And so all week I've been wanting to give you something. But I haven't wanted to busy the mind, right? Because this is so precious. But I'm giving in. And I ask you to join me in the investigation of whether it's the right time. You can take it home with you. If you're not interested, don't take it at all. Okay, because this is about the unbinding of each. We have to turn towards what is skillful for this body mind. And that's exactly where the Buddha wanted us to rest. What is skillful right here? Because that's where we have some power. It's happening up here. You know, the dukkha that is aging, disease, and death, we don't have that stuff. We don't have a lot of control over that. But the dukkha, we've got some control, some capacity to work with. That's what's happening in the mind. So I've actually printed off a dependent origination, kind of the how it unfolds with some of the a couple of sutta references. It's a study sheet that I had on my floor for years while I was meditating, so I could begin to track what was happening. That has these different factors, how the mind just kind of rolls forward. That's on one side, and on the other side is the way the Buddha lays it out in terms of dependent co-arising. And the beautiful thing is just as these things kind of, ignorance blossoms forth into becoming and suffering, so too can it reverse. In the absence of ignorance, there's an absence of suffering. Now, from the remainderless fading and cessation of that very ignorance comes the cessation of fabricating, of constructing, and so forth and so forth. That's freedom. Okay. So let's have a walking period of 20 minutes. Can we be back here in 25? So a bell will ring in 20 minutes. And just allow the mind to settle and find the ground. And we'll come back for Dhyana practice. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.